Well, ahead of Republic Day, we are joined by a very, very special guest. Anita Bose Pfaff is the daughter of Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose, and it is such a wonderful week for us over here in India with that wonderful hologram coming up behind India Gate. It's going to be replaced soon with a real statue of Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose. It's an incredible honor for millions across this country and indeed around the world. Thank you very much, ma'am, for being with us. My first question to you, do you believe, as we look upon this statue or this hologram of Netaji, it's equally important at this juncture of India's history to remember about his core values? For example, the importance that he placed in bringing together people of different faiths, of different backgrounds, of different of different languages, and working together with them.
Namaskar to all of you, and thank you for your question. Indeed, I think even though it's 75 years after India became independent, and Netaji has not lived through that period, the fact that he still inspires people and moves them personally, I think make it very relevant and also possible to convey values which I think are indeed very important today in India and throughout the world, because unfortunately divisive forces in different composition and form exist in other countries as well and have become very serious problems there too, if you think of the United States or some of the European countries. So India is not alone in that, but I think India maybe has more problems with regard to communal differences than maybe some other countries. And I think certainly in this respect, Netaji set a very good example together with the INA that communal differences can be overcome and there can be cooperation between the different groups for the well-being of all.
Ma'am, you know, will the chapter on Netaji in a sense be well and truly over when the ashes are returned to India? Would that mark you know, a conclusion to what's been a lifelong effort of yours to bring the ashes back, to perhaps immerse them in the Ganga? Do you believe it's now more than time for that to take place?
I do believe indeed that he deserves to return to his home country, even though he could not do it alive, at least sort of as a symbolic gesture. Of course, we don't know. He probably is nowhere where he can watch us or anything.
Perhaps he is watching us. Who knows?
Well, who knows? If he is, I think he would like to return to his country, even though Japan has been quite hospitable to him. And for me personally, also, and I'm going on 80, so the time I have left is not that long, and I would rather prefer to get this done. And my oldest son said not too long ago, now get going and get it done. I don't want to inherit this problem.
You are the legal heir to his remains. So is it not something strictly that you are internationally legally entitled to, his remains? Why does this have to be between the government of Japan and the government of India?
Possibly I am legally entitled to do that and could do it without the consent of either the Indian or the Japanese government. But I think it is also a matter of courtesy towards the temple and towards Japan to sort of accept their wishes, and they certainly would like to have the remains returned, although more recently the present priest had also contemplated that it would be possible to keep back a small amount of the remains at the temple. I don't know what the motivation is in that, whether it is really sort of the religious side of it or whether he also hopes to get support for the temple.
When was this conveyed to you? Never heard of this before, that they wanted to keep back a part of the mortal remains.
It wasn't conveyed to me directly. I think I'm not sure who told me. Most likely my nephew Sugata, because he has been visiting Japan quite often.
Right.
And whenever he goes to Japan, he also pays homage at the Renkochi Shrine. And I think and he's in contact with the priest, the previous priest, because this is really the third generation already. And I think he mentioned it. Somebody mentioned it to me.
Sure. Ma'am, let me ask you this. It's election season now in India. You know, we've got all of these very crucial elections, state elections across the country. There are some who feel that the image of Netaji as a strong nationalist leader, that is being usurped for political purposes. Do you think that's fair, or do you believe that this is a genuine honor which has belatedly come to one of India's finest sons?
I think it's a combination of both. I have no doubt that the Honorable Prime Minister, no less than the Chief Minister of West Bengal, Madam Banerjee, are true admirers of Netaji and respect him and want to pay their homage. On the other hand, they are politicians, and I don't think it is illegitimate for a politician to use the possibility to communicate with the electorate that way. What I would not approve of is say that Netaji was hijacked as a proponent of communal rivalry.
Right.
Because that certainly would do him injustice. But even if you consider that the leaders of those days were not always of a mind, and there were some controversies between them and so on, you have to keep in mind that the main objective really that also counts today is that they all work towards independence. That is
sure.
The end. They didn't agree on the on all parts of the way. So from that point of view, even if there were differences of opinion between, I feel no particular problem. For example, picking out Sardar Patel was an opponent to my father to some extent. I have no problem to pay homage and respects to him.
Sure.
Or I participated in a session on Netaji's birthday, which the Sardar Patel Association in England had. And I think there's neither anything wrong with their doing that.
Sure.
And they evidently feel comfortable with it, and I do too.
Fair enough. Fair enough, ma'am. Let me ask you this. For an entire generation, more than one generation of Indians, you know, who want to know more about Netaji, could you share with us, you know, any memories which you may have of your own path? Because you were very, very small when Netaji
went
away.
Yes, I don't have any personal memories.
But
I
the
was
memories
only
from your mother
school.
Or the stories from your mother, what are some of those stories or memories which from your mother of your father that you can share with us?
Of course, you might surmise that my mother had a biased view of him. I think they were both very devoted to each other. And on the other hand, I didn't realize that as a child so much, but as a grown woman, I asked myself sometimes, my mother really got a very rough deal. So I would have understood if she had been bitter against my father in some ways, because she always played second fiddle. It was always the country first. It was always the willingness to risk his life and everything and to go off when he felt he had to go off. So I'm sure that was not very easy for her. If you just think of the fact that I was just 2 months old when he left Europe by submarine, and he knew that he may not see the end of that journey. Well, he saw the end of that journey, but they never got back together again. There were a couple of letters which he could send, because that was war time, and Japan and Europe were opposite ends of the world almost. And so it was really amazing that she really had this fierce loyalty.
Well,
I think they had relatively little time together. I think we once added it up. I think it's less than 3 years, which if you put all the time together,
right,
about a year and a half with interruptions in the 30s and then during the Second World War. And of course, they spent more time together because she also worked for him and with him.
Right.
So in working together, you have also a sort of a camaraderie.
Absolutely.
But I think...
No, ma'am, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts and you know, again, sharing, you know, the equation between your mother and your father, the fact that she saw so little of him, the fact that she always supported him, the fact that you were so young when he actually went away in that submarine and then, you know, you never got to see him again, your mother never got to see him again, but for a few letters which were exchanged. It's a remarkable story of one of India's finest men. Thank you so much, ma'am. It's been an honor speaking to you.
Thank you, and Jai Hind.